She said, how about we disappear? Let me just grab my things, let's get out of here. It's almost like she read my mind.
Back on Downtown Tuesday afternoon, it's time for this week's Message in the Bottle, brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company at 86 Hammond Street in downtown Bangor. We welcome in Eric Meehan. Hello, Eric.
Hey, how's everyone doing?
Outstanding. How are you today?
I'm great. I'm safe. I'm safe from Mother Nature. I feel lucky today.
Yeah, and you got all that wood split, so you're good.
Well, I'll tell you a funny story. I guess it was sort of a humble brag of, yes, we cleared the wood. I got an email from our good friend Bruce Pratt today, and he basically gave me a get off my lawn, youngster.
Wow.
He told me how many cords of wood he was getting, and I love the man, so it was very funny. But it was one of those, like, son, you ain't seen nothing.
Wow. Always. That's what those guys do. Gee.
That's why people like that exist, to humble you. And it's, you know, I can't imagine being humbled by a greater guy. So
no, and that's why I don't ever mention any work I do around the house, because Bruce is always going to have done 10 times more.
That's sort of the thing. You're like, wow, I did this. You're like, wow, oh, I do that in my sleep.
I do that before I have the first coffee of the day, yeah.
That's right. It's definitely one of those, we do more before 9 a.m. than most people do all day, except it's not a branch of the military. It's
right.
Just one of your dear friends.
And exactly.
You're like, okay, fine. You're better than I am. This is okay. Oh, man. But yes, that was humbling. The Giants' loss was humbling.
Oof.
Everything's been humbling lately, folks. That's okay. We're I'll tell you, what has made my day slightly better was that I have finally tasted some Bordeaux. In fact, I just did it a short while ago. That made me happy because, it was unbelievably delicious, and also it was affordable. Oh my goodness, affordable wine is still out there, and in these days of ungodly rising inflation and such like that, man, it was a real treat. So, folks, not that we're going to be talking about Bordeaux today specifically, but I have served you well as your favorite wine merchant, so do be stopping in before the holidays, and I will show you all of what we're going to get in, because, man, I didn't taste a bad bottle earlier, and that, it's one of those things, just this is a side tangent. Bordeaux has always troubled me, always. No one knows what it is. They know it's famous. They know mostly it's expensive, and this is true. You know, when we talk about it, we talk about how, you know, a lot of the, what they term as growths, the first through fifth growths, are, you know, sort of the price of small automobiles. But there's what they call the petit chateau, these folks who are not caught up in all that, that are just making wines that, you know, when I started in this business, so, you know, we're talking just, you know, just short of about 2 decades right now, were really crummy. I'll be really honest. They were just mediocre at best. But while retaining almost similar price points to back then, which I don't even understand how you can do that. I do a little bit, but we'll get into that some other day. They're finally coming around to the fact that the less expensive wines, in any category need to be enjoyed today, which, you know, I always classify as not necessarily today or tomorrow, but 6 months, a year, not, you know, when your newborn child is graduating from college. And that's the point of most wines in the world. As I try to tell people, 97% of all wines, this is my made-up number, are meant to drink today, not, you know, not for aging and your fine mahogany-lined whatevers. So it's important to think about. Anyway, moving on. Today, I wanted to just talk about America's favorite Italian grape and where it comes from. The grape is, of course, Sangiovese, but no one really maybe knows Sangiovese, but you certainly know Chianti. Why do you know Chianti? Because Chianti lies between, the region of Chianti lies between Florence and Siena, and is, including some of my family's best friends, the most, this is the most heavily traversed area for Americans. When you go to to Italy, by and large, you're probably going to land in Rome and then go north and be somewhere between Florence and Siena. And that's lovely, but the region that lies right between there is Chianti, Chianti Classico. But the grape there is Sangiovese. So to back up, Sangiovese is perhaps poorly pronounced, but it might make a little more sense. Sangiovese. And sang is blood, right? So Sangiovese means the blood of Jove or Jupiter, also known as Zeus. So this is the grape that is the blood of the, you know, the king of the gods. Thought to date back to the Etruscans around, you know, 750 BC, but first documented reference is indeed in Tuscany, though it is grown in several other wonderful locations in Italy that we'll talk about in a second. It was first documented in 1590. So Sangiovese is a tricky little grape. It's one of those that sometimes surprises me that people like so darn much. And it's a little grippy. It's more medium-bodied than full-bodied. It certainly doesn't give you the broad, big, mouth-filling wines that your Primitivo / Zinfandels give you, or your Cabs, etc. It's a little trickier than that, but it's a grape that goes marvelously with food, and of course, Italians do that pretty well too, so I think that's really what lends itself to certainly our nation's fascination with it, and indeed the world, is that when you travel to Italy or have a wonderful Sangiovese in whatever country you're in with great food, you're really captivated, and I think that's why it's really stuck. As I mentioned, it's not just found in Tuscany, which is, of course, on the western coast of Italy in the midsection there, but it's home, at least that's what they claim, is in Emilia Romana, which is where Bologna is, and certainly that passes up against the Adriatic, is found in the Marche region, which is south of that, and also in Abruzzo, which is south of that. On the western coast, of course, it's found also in Umbria. Well, I shouldn't say western coast, because Umbria, of course, is non-coastal. It's in central Italy, but also in Lazio, which is the region that contains Rome. So really, the whole midsection of Italy specializes in this grape, and they certainly have others, and we'll talk about that if we have time, but it's really the grape that drives the viticulture industry in central Italy. Carrie, sir, may I have a time check?
Carrie's holding up. Oh no, three fingers. Oh. Okay, I just saw the first hand. 3 minutes.
I'm sorry. Yeah, 3 minutes. Very good. Let's talk briefly about some of those other grapes. It's what I call the Sangiovese belt. But of course, there's other wonderful stuff. Let's talk really quickly about white. White wine in this part of the world is extraordinarily important, but certainly not as widely known. The main grape is Trebbiano. Trebbiano is, like any grape, you know, very, very subject to where it is grown. So you will have examples of Trebbiano that taste vastly different from region to region. But it is grown, indeed, in Emilia-Romagna, Tuscany, Umbria, Lazio. And then the other important grape that you will have both it's important to remember that, you know, you have the Apennine mountain range, which sort of splits Italy like a spine. And these grapes are found, I suppose, not surprisingly, on either side of that. But the weather's, the weather climate and the climate system dictate that they taste much different. But the other one to get to know is Verdicchio. And Verdicchio is just a tremendous wine. If you like sort of the more earth terroir-driven Chardonnays, things like that, I think you would really like Trebbiano. And then, of course, you have things like Montepulciano in Abruzzo and the Marche. You have Montefalco in Umbria. you have some serious red wines that are worth exploring, and I encourage you to, you know, either talk to us or to your favorite wine merchant about some of those as well. But, of course, like I was mentioning, this is really Sangiovese country. And, of course, they do try to grow, you know, your international varietals, which are sometimes interestingly blended in, but very often not. And even if they are interestingly blended in, you're probably paying too much because they're called Super Tuscans. And they're usually overpriced, but we'll figure that out some other time because I'm sure I'm out of it. That said, I hope you're all well. And next week we'll talk about, we'll go a little farther south and talk about the rest of the heel and toe of the boot.
That sounds awesome. Oh, Eric, thank you. As always, hope your evening goes well. We'll visit again next Tuesday.
All right. Cheers to all of you. Bye-bye.